Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That means it's time for another episode of Stunt Tracks with yours truly, Uncle Jim, and the one and only Leslie Hoffman. How you doing tonight, Leslie?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Well, the snow finally made it up here. Well, or yesterday. It stopped today, but yesterday it was like snowing slush.
Wow.
You probably do understand what I'm saying. And I had to drive somewhere, and it just, you know, you could be the world's greatest driver, but boy, that tire, you know, the slush grabs the tire, and it starts pulling you off the road. I mean, I was crawling compared to, you know, the speed that I normally drive at. I mean, it was dangerous yesterday.
Well, at least you still had your snow tires on and you never took them off from the summer, right?
Right. But that's what I'm saying is, well, like you say, snow tires, you call them snow tires, but they're not black ice tires. And like you say, with the slush, you know, like I say, they're for snow. They're not for smooth, slick surface or like you say, I don't know how to say about the slush. I mean, you know, I was trying to stay in the tire tracks of the car that had gone ahead of me or that was before me, but, you know, you just slightly get off to one side and that the slush, like I say, grabs your tire.
Well, it's like even four-wheel drive doesn't help you on ice. So, you know.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. I understand completely.
Yeah, no, well,
being
actually,
from Vermont.
It was funny, a year ago, I had to go up to somebody's house who had, they live on top of a hill, and the driveway is, I don't know, a quarter of a mile. I mean, it's a long driveway, straight up a hill with a turn. I never made it to the turn. Anyways, like, you know, so it was black ice, and I start going up this hill, and the car just goes, wee, 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 wee. You're just spinning in one place. And then you got to be careful. Then you got to, you know, slowly back down and not slide off the road. So winter is fun up in our area. I mean, I'm including your area.
Really.
I mean.
Yeah, we had a lot of rain. It kind of got warm today, and we got a lot of rain, which melted a lot of the snow. But then it got cold, and it started snowing, and then it froze and turned it into ice. And then we had slush, and it was just, we had everything. It was just a mess.
Yeah.
I'm glad tomorrow is a holiday. and I don't have to go to work.
Yeah, this is actually, we're into a 3-day weekend. It's Martin Luther King's birthday, and, you know, all the things that I want to do or I usually have to do Monday, if it includes a bank or a post office, it's going to be closed tomorrow, so I got to wait till Tuesday.
Exactly. You got a nice long weekend, which I'll take. I will take it. I'll take off any day I can get off. Anyways, for you guys that are listening, we have a great show planned for you guys tonight. Leslie sent me a message and we said, "Hey, what do we want to talk about tonight?" And the first thing, of course, was Planet of the Apes, and he thought, well, we'll get them in there somehow. But we decided to talk about, with Martin Luther King Day around the corner, we thought diversity, infinite diversity and infinite combinations would be a great topic for the show tonight. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about diversity in Star Trek. And I think it all starts, of course, with the original series. And, you know, the biggest thing, I think, with Martin Luther King Day around the corner would be Nichelle Nichols, Uhura, on the bridge. Now, a conversation that I have a lot I don't want to insult anybody, but with modern-day Star Trek fans is that when they watch TOS, they don't understand, you know, what the relevance of it really was. Now, having a black woman on the bridge in the 60s was a huge, huge thing at the time. You know, but they didn't stop there. They had a Russian on the bridge as well, and that was a big, big deal too with the Cold War going on at the time. They also had an Asian on the bridge, and that's also a big deal because there was a lot of people like my wife's father who fought in World War II who still didn't trust Asians. And if you've ever listened to George Takei talk about actually his family being put into a concentration camp because they were Japanese Americans. So that was fresh in a lot of people's minds as well. And of course they had a Scotsman as your engineer. To throw something in there, they threw in an alien with pointed ears in as a Vulcan, as Mr. Spock. And Gene Roddenberry, I've heard him say on several interviews and several different places I've heard him speak and seen him speak, is that he wanted the Enterprise to represent Earth, spaceship Earth. And he wanted as much representation of the different people on Earth on the Starship Enterprise as possible, and I think he succeeded at that. What would you say, Leslie? Would you agree with that assessment?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one thing that, as you say, with the 60s, the first pilot, they had the second in command being a woman, and that just didn't fly. I mean, that was a absolute no-go. I mean, it was wonderful that they made Uhura head of communications, but no way was there going to be a woman in the second position, I guess. If something happened to the captain, no way were they going to allow a woman to be, you know, running a ship. So that's why Majel, I mean, they didn't get rid of her. I mean, she was Gene's wife, but she became a nurse, which is a very female occupation of the 60s.
Yep. They also had Yeoman Rand as well.
Yeah, well, that's like just being a secretary.
Exactly.
I mean, yeoman. you already said it. Is that the original crew? I mean, maybe that's why people, or I read it on Facebook, that they can't stand or don't understand the original series, because the people in the certain positions was nowadays you wouldn't think twice about it, but in 1960, I mean, it was absolutely amazing what the crew was made up of.
Yeah, and today's audience doesn't wrap their head around that, because they weren't around for this. I mean, think about the civil rights movement. We're celebrating Martin Luther King Day. The civil rights movement where blacks didn't even have the right to vote, yet there was a black on the bridge of the Enterprise and a woman on top of that. So that was a big deal. And the first interracial kiss as well.
I was going to get to that. Right. The episode Plato's Stepchildren, where Kirk kisses Uhura, was banned. It was not allowed to be shown on certain network stations, I'll say. I mean, obviously it was shown on networks in a lot of states, but in the southern states, that episode was not aired. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess somehow they just did a repeat of a different episode.
Yeah, it was a big deal, and people need to remember that Martin Luther King Day is Monday, and I posted a picture on our Facebook page, Trek Talking and Beyond, of Nichelle Nichols at the White House with President Obama, and you have to look at that picture and realize that Nichelle Nichols being a black woman on TV in the 60s blazed a trail and made it possible for a Barack Obama to become the first black president in history, and to meet him for both of them was a huge honor. And that's how significant diversity is, and I think people forget that.
Well, and the other part of the story is she had even second thoughts of accepting the role, and she was friends with Martin Luther King, and he's the one that convinced her to, take the role. Do you realize what's being offered here? I mean, you have an amazing chance to. I mean, who knows what his exact words were to her, but he's the one that convinced her to take the role. I mean, it was offered to her. She was ready to turn it down. She's talking to him, and he's saying, take the role.
Yeah, I think, and that diversity, of course, people also forget that in the 70s, there was another Star Trek series that came out after the original series was canceled and ran for 2 seasons, a Saturday morning cartoon, Star Trek The Animated Series. And even though it was a cartoon, the animated series still had a lot of diversity in it, in the fact that they introduced a Cation, who's a cat person who filled in for Uhura at Communications by the name of Mres, and they didn't cast Mr. Chekhov in the show, but they replaced him with a three-armed alien by the name of Lieutenant Erickson, who was an Erosian, and he had three arms and three legs. So So they replaced them with aliens, which is still a form of diversity, although not human diversity. So that,
well, the interesting thing is that, I mean, being animated, you know, the original Star Trek really didn't have prosthetics. CGI didn't exist. So you know, if there was a Klingon, you just used darker makeup on them, or, you know, let this be your last battlefield, you have white makeup on half the face and black makeup on the other half of the face, and that was how you made an alien back then, unless they were going to wear an 80-pound suit or something like that. I mean, the Tholians were probably one of the most creative human-wearing alien, I think, that TOS had.
Yeah, they did that. Yeah, you're right. They had to do it with makeup, but being animated, they weren't limited to that, which was good. But they still had a diverse crew, and to me, that's the biggest thing. This is something that people don't. I think that modern fans of Star Trek, meaning what I mean by modern fans, like fans that watch Star Trek today but haven't grown up with it, is that diversity is so important. Diversity is what makes us who we are. Look at Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's a story about diversity. And you know, when we got to TNG, they also had diversity in TOG and TNG. You know, they had a handicapped person flying the ship. They had an android on the bridge, Klingon on the bridge, and they had a female security officer,
right,
in Tasha Yar. Which
they killed her off pretty quickly, but
yeah, they
she kept coming back.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, Tasha Yar that started the "I'm not really dead." Instead of Planet of the Apes, it's more like the Holy Grail. I'm getting better. I'm not dead yet. But seriously speaking, I mean, to have Worf as a Klingon on TNG was the same as having Chekhov on the original series. I mean, TOS, a Klingon, was a bad guy. I mean, as you say, the Cold War, to have a Russian you know, it was the Federation, but it's, you know, I don't know. You still kind of feel like it's, you know, the United States, even though it's a Federation. So, like I say, to have a Russian on a ship in a security level position. Then you had TNG to have Worf, a Klingon, in a secure. He was security after Tasha Yar. Again, it was an interesting progression, and I think it just. Well, I think the fans were more than willing to accept things. I mean, that's it, is that you have network or you have, well, I'll just stick with the network. You have network where you have people deciding what a fan will or won't accept. And I think the Star Trek fans have been more than willing to accept aliens or male or female, you know, in certain roles, and it just is.
I think that fans have changed a lot, and I think that when new Star Trek shows come out, we're going to talk about Discovery, and we're going to talk about Voyager and Lower Decks. We've got a lot of other shows to throw in there, guys. But I think that Star Trek relies a lot on aliens to fill that diversity role a lot. But I want to jump ahead to something, an article I just posted on our Facebook page, which really surprised me by the response that I got from a lot of Star Trek fans, end quote, and that is that Mary Wiseman just came out of the closet and said that she's actually considers herself to be bisexual. I'm assuming because she was interested in women before she met her husband, and now she's married to the Andorian dude there, whose name escapes me right now, but the Andorian that was on Discovery Season 3 is actually her real-life husband.
Right, I was going to say, she's bi-alien.
Right, she's bi-alien. And I posted that article on our Facebook page, and surprisingly, a lot of Star Trek fans, at least the ones that respond, aren't completely accepted with that. And I think that as a society, let's talk about Discovery. I'm jumping ahead, but we have Adira and we have Gray, who are identified as non-linear or non-binary, meaning that neither one of those characters identifies themselves as male or female, and they refer to themselves as they and them, which is a concept I do not understand, and I'm not going to pretend to understand. I don't understand it at all, but that's what they do. We have Culber and Stamets, who are both gay and have a beautiful relationship on the show, I think. And we also have Tig Notaro, Jet Reno, who's also gay, whose wife died in the Klingon Wars. So we have a lot of representation for the LGBTQ community on Star Trek today, but they're still not getting the recognition or the equal treatment that they deserve from the fans. And some of the comments on the comment page, you just embarrass me that Star Trek fans would say things like that. Because to me, that's what Star Trek is about. It's about infinite diversity and infinite combinations. It's about acceptance. We don't care if you're an Andorian. We don't care if you're a Gorn. We don't care if you're a Romulan or a Klingon or a Russian. When you join Starfleet, you're part of our family. And that's the way I see Star Trek. And I think that's the message, at least that's the message that I got out of watching Star Trek for 55 years.
That's interesting, because I guess I missed the negative comments. I mean, I go back to that it seems like most of the fans, if you said, well, I say that Mary came out of the closet, and most people said, so? You know, like,
well,
and?
that's because myself and my admins, we hide and block a lot of people that come on and start the hate and the negativity and the personal attacks, because I won't tolerate that at all. But listen, we got to take our first commercial break for our people listening at Odyssey Radio. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial. We'll be right back after you listen to some great commercials from Russ. The rest of us will be right back after this very quick message. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with the Leslie Hoffman and Uncle Jim and Stunt Treks in about 30 seconds.
Trek Talking, all things Star Trek and beyond. Thursday nights, 7:30 to 9:30, all hailing frequencies are open. iTunes, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, Amazon, and wherever fine podcasts are found. Trek Talking, boldly going wherever your mind is willing to go.
And we're back. We're talking about diversity in Star Trek. And right now we're talking about Mary Wiseman and coming out as a bisexual. I posted that article on our page. And we go through, and I try to read every single comment on every single post. And something that's very important to me is I want Trek Talking to be a safe place where people can come and be safe, and they can feel safe, and they can express their love of Star Trek and their opinions without having to worry about being attacked for any reason. And so a lot of those negative comments, you won't see them because me and my admins get rid of them. And if the same people do it over and over again, we ban them and they're never allowed back. And the reason why I do that, I've had fans tell me, well, we have freedom of speech and blah, blah, blah. And you're right, you do. But first of all, I have to say that Trek Talking is my page. And I am not the federal government. I don't have to allow you to say anything on my page. So there's that. And secondly, if there's somebody who's reading the article, some teenage person, maybe, I don't know, 16 or 17, that's just realizing that either that they're gay or they're bisexual or they're transgendered or many of these other things, pansexual, asexual, whatever, things that I don't understand, and that's fine. I don't have to understand it to accept it. But if they're watching Star Trek and just seeing these people represented on TV like Uhura did in the 60s, gives them hope that they can be accepted and that they are part of something and they are represented in the population, that is incredibly important to me. And when some idiot comes on and starts trashing them and bad-talking them and being nasty, that one person that's reading that is taking that to heart. And it's like a personal attack against that person who's just discovering who they are. And I won't allow that. So those comments are there, but hopefully we catch them before you read them, Leslie, and that you won't see them. So that's why you're not seeing them. But they were there.
Oh.
People were there.
You know, everybody, I think this was last week's topic, was everybody has a right to be what they want to be. I mean, I'll add a new sentence. As long as they don't physically hurt somebody else.
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
exactly.
Be the only thing that I would suddenly go, no, you don't do that. But everybody has their life, their dreams, their lifestyle to live, and nobody should be telling them what to do otherwise.
Oh, I agree completely. I mean, I'm a white heterosexual male. I have a wife. I have a child. That's the way I am. But you know what? Just because I don't identify as any of these other sexual preferences, that doesn't mean that I can't accept those people that do for the person that they are. As you said, Leslie, long as they're not forcing that on other people and hurting other people, they have a right to live their life as they choose, as long as they're consenting adults and they're not forcing it on other people. And I just, you know, I praise Mary Wiseman for coming out and saying that myself. And that's why I jumped ahead to Discovery, because I felt that was a message that we had to get out.
Well, just offhand is that, you know, I don't know. Saranac Lake was, or at least growing up here, I missed a lot of the stuff that I guess Well, due to my father, I lived a very sheltered life, so I didn't know all the stories that were going on in Saranac Lake. But, you know, once I was in California, the first stunt group that I belonged to, one of the women was gay, and I didn't even know that. The way I found out was I was warned by the straight stunt women, well, if she invites you over to go swimming in her swimming pool, you know, you shouldn't do that because she's gay. Well, it turns out that I'm still friends with this person. I mean, in other words, just because you're gay doesn't make you a rapist. I mean, that's what I...
Exactly.
In other words, I feel the straight people were the bad guys, or you know, the ones that had a bad attitude.
I agree.
The gay person
I'm right there with
is
you.
Is wonderful.
And
like you
while
say,
we're talking
go ahead.
While we're talking about Discovery, before we move backwards, we have to mention the fact that Star Trek has its first black female captain in Michael Burnham. So, you know, that's something that Star Trek is doing too.
Oh, black. Oh, okay. I missed.
Right. And people have said, well, Deep Space Nine had Sisko. He was a black man. Voyager had Janeway. She was a white woman, but Discovery has a black female lead. So,
well, and,
you know, that's diversity.
And actually, well, no, you're right. But somewhere you got to put in Lower Decks.
Right, Lower Decks, though, to me, I love Lower Decks. We've talked about it on the show here. I think it's great. It's funny. It's a hilarious show. But Lower Decks is considered canon, absolutely. But Lower Decks is also an animated show. And that brings us, like we were talking about TOS. You know, they could put anybody they want and to draw them, you know. But you're right. Captain Freeman, a black lead on a starship. Yep, you're absolutely right. And there's a Bajoran. We have the Bajoran security guard officer on Lower Decks. And we have the augmented engineer as well on Lower Decks. And Tendi, who's an Orion. That's an interesting combination.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Well, again, it's amazing late 60s, let's say over almost 1970. So 30, and this is 21 now, so 51 years, let's say. It's taken 51 years for... And again, I don't think it's the public or the fans. I think it's the producers themselves of these shows or these networks and these cable companies feeling comfortable enough to allow these characters to exist. I maybe I'm dreaming, but I'm almost hoping that had these same characters been introduced in the late 60s, I think you would have had the majority of the public accepting them. Because I think they would have found them fascinating. Or I guess that's my dream. It's amazing that in 50 years, where NBC wanted to airbrush or did airbrush Spock's pointed ears because they were afraid people would look at the pamphlet, that they hand out to people when they're trying to sell a series. You know, they were afraid that, oh my God, he's the devil. You know, the public will never accept that. Now look at the variety of characters we have nowadays.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, let me ask you a question, Leslie, because I hear this a lot on our Facebook page. And what do you say to the people that say that Star Trek is trying to eliminate white men completely, and that it, that what they're doing on Star Trek isn't fair to white heterosexual men, because everybody that's on Star Trek, if they're a man, they're either gay or they're not white. What do you say to people that say that?
You know, well, obviously the listeners don't know this, but, you know, I wrote to you. I usually give Uncle Jim a cheat sheet about my opinions before the show, and I even said, I hope you understand that I'm not, well, I forget the words, but in other words, I'm not eliminating white males. You know, well, let's take Discovery, since that's what's going on right now. I mean, you I forgot what they're – is he the admiral or something? There's the guy with the glasses. There's the guy that who's the head of the Federation. Those are white males. I mean, I don't think they're trying to get rid of the white males.
No, I don't think so either. And something that – and when these people say this, it makes me laugh, because if you look at the Federation, if Star Trek was real, if it was today, and you were to look at the Federation, white males would be the minority of the Federation and not the majority, because you would have Klingons, Dorians, Romulans, Vulcans, Bajorans, Cardassians, you know, Trill, Ferengi, you'd have all these other races. And so, you know, it wouldn't be uncommon to not see a white male in command of a vessel, because there's so many, would be so many other races that would have that position, in my opinion.
Right, and it's not necessarily, let's remove the word white, is that, I mean, you have a lot of male actors, characters, whatever, as you say, except that in this case, they're aliens. So it isn't like women are taking over the world and let's get rid of the men. No, I mean, Saru is male. Or I'm assuming Saru identifies as male.
Yeah, I think that he does. And that's I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that on Star Trek, unless a character specifically identifies themselves as not being the presented sex, then I think it's safe for all of us to assume that Saru identifies as a male Kelpian, because he has not said otherwise. Same thing with Michael Burnham. She's a female. You know, each one of these people identifies themselves exactly as we see them, except for Adira and Gray, who have said that they are binary and don't consider themselves to be any one particular sex. So, unless it's pointed out in an episode that they're not, I think it's a safe assumption to assume that they're exactly what we see them as, I think. Would you agree, Leslie?
Right, right. I mean, in other words, that's not in these episodes. That's not even part of the topic of whether they're female, whether they're male, whether they're, you know, bi, whether they're gay, whether they're transgender. I mean, they're doing their job, and that's what they're trying to bring across in the episode is that these characters are doing their jobs. It isn't that these people are going around with a with a sticker on their body saying, I'm a male, I'm a female. No, I'm this position on this starship, and I'm doing my job. That's
exactly
what we're coming to,
exactly.
And that's the way it really should be.
And
so
let's go back to TOS for a second here. On TOS, TOS did have, as everybody knows, they actually did have a gay actor, which I wasn't aware of until decades later when I ran into him at a convention. But George Takei is gay, and he was on Star Trek, and nobody knew it. They didn't bring that fact out. And when J.J. Abrams made the Star Trek movie, Star Trek Beyond, Sulu had a daughter, which we know that he does, and he went to the Yorktown station and met his husband there. And he got off the ship and hugged him, and then they walked away holding their daughter. And I thought to myself, that is one of my favorite scenes in Star Trek, because they're just a normal family. He's the helmsman of a starship, and he's here to see his family, and they walked away. Well, that particular scene upset a lot of people, including, surprisingly enough, George. And I was like, wow, why is George upset about this? And a lot of fans were upset too. And I said to fans, I want you to go back to every episode of Star Trek and every Star Trek movie, and I want you to find any evidence, anything at all, that says whether that Sulu is gay or Sulu is straight. Find me a line, find me anything, and there isn't. So the fact that he had a husband and a child, I didn't have a problem with that at all. It didn't even bother me. I didn't even think twice about it. What did that bother you, Leslie?
Well, I'll just say, and I can't think of what the name of the episode was, when Spock had a beard, when they went to that opposite universe, Uhura did go up to Sulu and was flirting with him, and he seemed to be flirting, I'll say it nicely, flirting back with her. You would have thought that it was a heterosexual thing, but then again, that wasn't really, like I say, that was that other universe. That wasn't, I agree with you that in the regular Star Trek universe, no, there was never an episode of Sulu being in love with somebody, or like you say, where you would identify him one way or the other. Chekhov, yes, but not Sulu.
Yeah, definitely Chekhov. Yep, definitely Chekhov. But
yeah, well, Chekhov. Again, well, that one, now that I remember the name, Day of the Dove, because that's the episode that always drives me. Like you say, I look at everything when I'm watching an episode, and he's gonna rape the Romulan. Let's see, no, Klingon. He's gonna rape the Klingon woman. And he touches her face, but then Kirk comes up and throws Chekhov across the deck or the hallway, and obviously Walter or Chekhov's hand hit the wall, and it leaves a makeup mark on the wall if you watch it very carefully. I don't know. Like I say, those things get me when when I see something like that. But no, again, we're kind of going in circles, but yeah, I mean, it's the 60s. They wanted women to be women and men to be men. One of the things that I was saying is that even all the way into the 90s, human women could not fight males. For some reason, that wasn't allowed. They could hit them with a gun, which I don't understand why they didn't shoot them, but they could hit them with a gun or a pipe, but they could not hit them with a fist. That's why I enjoyed doubling Torres, because being half Klingon, it was okay for me to fight like a man, which... believe me, in a couple of episodes, that's exactly what I did. Yet now we go to Discovery again, and there, no one questions. You won't see this on Facebook, like, how dare burn Michael karate kicked so-and-so. I mean, nowadays, stunt fights, whether male, whether female, whether a combination, or, you know, a male fighting a female, it's just a given. It's part of the story, and it's acceptable.
Well, look at Georgia. Michelle Yeoh kicked ass in every episode that she was in. She was an incredible fighter.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I hope other people enjoyed it.
And while we're talking about Voyager, let's throw in the mix that B'Elanna Torres was the first female chief engineer that we've had on Star Trek. B'Elanna Torres.
Right.
And you might think, well, that's not a big deal. But if you look at the history of Star Trek...
You know, the original series, you know, it had to be a white, well, here we go. Yeah, it had to be a white male. It had to be Scotty. I mean, so far on Voyager, well, two things. Not only was she the head of engineering, technically she was part of the, if you want to call it the, well, I'd rather call them rebels instead of bad guys. I mean, the Maquis were fighting for what they believed in.
Right.
But everybody knew on Voyager that they had to come together as a crew and trust each other, or they never were going to get home.
Right. Exactly. So I think that, wow, I can't believe how quick this time flies, Leslie. I think that...
I just looked over at the clock. Yeah, no, it's...
Wow.
Hey, well, quickly we do Planet of the Apes. Is that, well, because of the prosthetics, you didn't know who was white, who was black, who was Asian.
I just think that if anyone's going to be involved in Star Trek, if you're going to watch Star Trek, and if you're going to call yourself a Star Trek fan, you've got to follow what Star Trek is built on. The building blocks of Star Trek are infinite diversity and infinite combinations, the itic. And that means accepting people for who they are and treating everyone with respect and dignity the way you want to be treated, regardless of their shape, size, color, whatever. That's what Star Trek, that's what it's all about.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
That's what it breaks
exactly
down to. And if everybody could try to do that, then it would be a much, much better place to live. But it's a hard concept to practice because people are filled with prejudices and they're hard to overcome. But Leslie, We only have 4 minutes left before we have to say goodnight. Did you have any closing comments that you wanted to say to the listeners before we have to say goodnight?
No. I mean, the last sentence that I wrote to you, but I think we've gone over it multiple times tonight, is as Star Trek explores strange new worlds, the fans themselves were also open to new ideas. And that's the way it should be. I mean, or, in other words, I'm talking about the beginning dialogue, you know, our 5-year mission
right.
explore strange new worlds. I mean, fans themselves have to explore strange new worlds too.
Yeah, I agree.
I probably should have dropped strange. Is that there are new worlds, there are people of all types, and you become friends with whoever, or you watch an episode and you root for whoever, and now I'm going real quick with South Pacific. You have to be taught to hate. I mean, people are born not hating. It's other people that teach people to hate, and those people should disappear. Whoop, that sounded nasty on my part.
I understand the sentiment that what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely.
Be open to all ideas. Don't be blind. You know, don't get yourself into a cult or something. But if somebody hasn't done anything to you to make you feel uncomfortable, there's no reason why you can't be friends with them.
Well, I agree completely. And we are out of time, unfortunately. So I want to say thank you to everybody listening around the world and on Odyssey Radio. We couldn't do the show without you people, obviously. Please head over to our Facebook page, the Leslie Hoffman Appreciation Organization, and say hello. And I want to let you guys know that tomorrow from 7:30 to 8:30, we'll be doing Comic Corner. We're going to be talking about Star Trek Voyager comic issue number 1 and issue number 2 called Seven's Reckoning. And it's about 7 of 9 when she first joined the crew of the Voyager. We're going to be talking about that for an hour, so you want to check that out. Thursday night, Trek Talking and Beyond will be back, and we're going to give our total review of Season 3 of Star Trek Discovery. What did we think about the season as a whole, and what did you guys think of it as a whole? And you can head over to our Facebook page at Trek Talking and Beyond, spell that all out, and you'll see a post there, and you can tell us what you thought about Discovery, and maybe you'll hear your name and your thoughts on the radio. So I want to say thank you very much, Leslie, for hanging out with us tonight. It's been great talking with you, as always.
Oh, love talking with you. I say it's sharing ideas.
And it's always fun.
We can finish the show without saying, I'm never going to talk to you again.
No, but we will. Leslie and I will be back again next Sunday, same bat time, same bat channel. You guys can count on that. So I will be here with Leslie talking with you guys again for another hour next week. So make sure you come back. And please, I want everybody to stay safe and be good to each other. And try to make 2021 a better year than 2020. And good night to everybody.
Oh,
and thank you for listening.
Take care.
Good night. Hailing Twin
Peaks
are closed.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.